Hi, welcome to the Lifehouse podcast. We're glad you're with us. We hope you enjoy this message about Jesus and his love for you. I pray that it's a personal encouragement to you. Let's jump right in.
I've noticed that people who are happy, anyone want to be happy? Yeah. People that are content, people that are full of vision, people that have got some clarity, anyone looking for some clarity in their life, knowing what to do next, having the faith to do that, people who just seem to be doing great things with their life. I'm an observer of people, and I've noticed that the people who are living this way seem to all have one thing in common. There's probably a lot of traits that they have in common, but this really stands out to me. I've also noticed people who are constantly stressed, full of fear, seem to be weighed down by the weight of life and unable to attain their meaning of success for them, whatever that means for them. And I've noticed that this trait that these people have and these people don't have is actually one of the signs that Jesus said would happen in the end days. And here it is, Matthew 24, verse 10. It says, this is Jesus speaking about the end days. Watch this. And then many will be offended. Mate, we are living in the offended culture. You can't say anything without someone being offended. And you could be saying it from the most purest of motives, but somebody will find something to be offended about. And I think that's what's driving our world crazy, by the way. If you really think about it, you know, all the stuff that's going on around the world that's really troubling you, the stuff that's going on in schools, that's a reaction to people being offended. Are you hearing me? Seriously, social media and everything that's going on there and all the craziness, all the new rules and laws. And listen, some of it is good. Let's be honest about that. We don't want anyone getting hurt. We get that. But being offended, that's a decision. That's a decision. Hurting you physically is one thing. You choosing to be offended is a decision. And so I've noticed that the people that are moving forward in life are not allowing that to happen. And that's actually not the crux of my message, but it certainly starts there because of what I'm about to talk about. What we're about to read is a passage of scripture, and then I'm going to give you the title of my message. I don't think it's up there yet, is it? Great. That's good. A little bit of build up is good, isn't it? Michael Jackson, here, you just stand there for a while. Probably a bit too long. Anyway, King Solomon is addressed by God, and God says, Solomon, I'm really pleased with you. What can I do for you? And so he says to him, God, I just want wisdom and so forth and so on. And that's a great thing to ask for. And then we pick up the story. It says in 1 Kings chapter 5, this is Solomon speaking. He says, you know that my father David, that's King David, we were just singing about him, was not able to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord his God. Why couldn't he build a temple? Because of the many wars raged against him by surrounding nations. Right? Wasn't a resource problem. It was a war problem. He could not. Everyone say could not. It doesn't say would not. He would have loved to. But he literally could not build until the Lord gave him victory over all his enemies. Well, did he build a temple? No, he didn't. Because he actually never had that season of his life. But King Solomon says, but now. Everyone say now. But now, he says, the Lord, my God, has given me peace on every side. And then he makes this the most powerful statement I think I've read for a long time. I have no enemies. And all is well. Title of my message, I want to preach to you today about having a spirit where you could honestly say, I have no enemies. Tell the person beside you, hold on real tight. Those of you online, hold on tight. Listen, I'm speaking to your heart today. That trait that I was speaking about, where people have got clarity in life, where people have got vision, they're focused, they seem to be people who have a spirit of, I have no enemies. The people that are stressed and nervous, full of fear, are people who seem to be fighting wars at every turn. They're fighting. If they're not fighting him, they're fighting her. If they're not fighting her, they're fighting that guy. If they're not fighting that guy, they're fighting that teacher, that employee, that whatever it may be. And some of us have been raised by parents who are always fighting with someone. There's a lot of head shaking going. It's true. If it wasn't that auntie, it was that uncle. If it wasn't that uncle, it was that cousin. If it wasn't that cousin, it was the guy from Italy who supposed to have sold the house, but he didn't sell the house and he kept the money for himself. And if I have to hear that story one more time, seriously, there's no money from overseas. They've sold everything. They've taken it all. Just deal with it. Oh, we've got the cousin and the auntie and they turned up with the Vespa and the... We're always fighting with somebody. King Solomon says, I'm going to build something because I have no enemies. You want to build a business? Have no enemies. Amen. You want to build a family? Have no enemies. It's just a great way to live. Friends, I've got to honestly say to you, listen, people have done me wrong. I've done wrong to others. Like, you know, we're all human, right? But if there is something I'm trying to maintain in my life is to be a pastor, a leader, who actually, when you get around me, you just get the sense that this guy has no enemies. Is it the truth? No, of course it isn't. But I'm trying to take that spirit on. And I've started a practice, and I'm going to encourage some of you to do this as well. I wake up in the morning. Now, I'd love to say I do it every morning, but I'll tell you what, it's most mornings. Because I've got some work to get done. I've got some faith to express. I'm trying to move this church forward. Are you hearing me? And I just don't want to be someone who's messed up on the inside. So when I have a shower, I just stand before God's presence and I just say, Lord, I just need you to know and help me to be a person who has no enemies. Why? Because I know this scripture. And I'm trying to build something. But King Solomon said about his dad, he could not, not would not. You're trying to build something, but you got enemies everywhere. Do you know how much energy it takes to have enemies everywhere? You're so fearful, you're so much in defense mode, forget about moving forward. You're just trying to protect stuff because you've got enemies everywhere. No. Come on, we need to be like King Solomon this morning. We need to honestly be able to say, I have no enemies. You're going to hear that statement over and over again. So again, poke the person beside you and say, I have no enemies. Even if you don't even know their name, just say it. Why not? I have no enemies. I have no enemies. Come on, let me be blunt. You know what? The stuff that you see on social media sometimes, and it makes you a little bit angry. Hey, listen, sinners are not our enemy. The Bible says it's the spirit behind that. People's lifestyle, the way they're living, breaking the heart of God. Listen, those people are still not your enemies. Because if you're going to go down that road, you're going to become very fearful. It's going to become them and us. And all it does is it causes a shrinking and it doesn't build anything. Now listen, let me right now, because some of you are like, I think I know where this is going. I think he's basically encouraging me to live a life where I have no enemies. So have you picked that up? And some of you are like, oh, but you know, that person's been very toxic in my life. I just don't want to spend time with them. I'm not suggesting you have to. Not for a moment. Some people you should actually stay away from them. Actually, the Bible would almost indicate that that's what you should do. But let's read it. 2 Thessalonians, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. I've got a few scriptures for you this morning. So those of you online, you're going to see it on the screen. It says, as for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. And someone said, amen. It says, take note of those who refuse to obey what we say in this letter. Be observant. Find the people that are actually being obedient. And you can read Thessalonians and you'll know what he's talking about. He's talking about integrity. He's talking about the end times. Watch this. He says, stay away from them so they will be ashamed. That's very strong words from the Apostle Paul. But listen, sometimes people need to realize, hey, listen, your behavior, the way you're treating your family, you should be ashamed of that, man. Well, I'm not going to celebrate everything that people do. Listen, you're forgiven. You're forgiven by God. But that's not great behavior. Gossiping about someone, you should be ashamed of that. And you know what? To be honest, I don't want to go to the movies with you on Friday and talk badly about people, so I'm going to stay away. Is that fair? Some of you are like, no, you should be there because you've got to keep showing them love. That's not what the Bible says. No, it says these people should be ashamed of the way they're living, right? Now listen, he's not talking about small things here. These are big things. But then it says this, don't think of them as... Don't think of them as enemies though. Just because you're staying away from them doesn't mean they're your enemy. I want you to have a spirit where you make great decisions about who you hang out with, but no one is your enemy. No one, no person, no thing is your enemy. You are a no enemy person. Because apparently, according to King Solomon, that's how you build something. And I speak to people, and it's not long before they tell me about their enemy. And then I think, and that's probably why you're not doing too well. Come on, free up your mind. Free up your spirit. Be able to pray strong prayers to God. Friends, no one is your enemy. Are you hearing me? It's a decision to make somebody your enemy. Now listen, I'm certainly not talking about someone being your enemy. It's when I say I have no enemies, I'm not saying that there is not people out there who don't like me. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I just choose to not make them my enemy. Are you hearing me? I've got lots of enemies. I don't know why. I'm such a nice guy. I've got no idea why people don't want to. No, seriously, sometimes I think, me, I'm your enemy. Make that person your enemy, not me. But for some reason, whatever it may be, but it doesn't mean I have to reciprocate. And I hear things from people, oh, you know, such and such, oh, they give you a hard time. What do I do with that moment? That's a shame. They're not my enemy. That's all I'm going for today. Why? Because that's the only thing within your control. What you choose to believe about others is the only thing you can do. What they choose to believe about you is totally out of your hands. Are you with me? Now listen, this is why you can't build anything, by the way, if you're the sort of person that's got wars on every front. Why? Because it's exhausting. It's a world of smallness. You're pushed back into your land. You can't keep growing. You're pushed back all the time. And so here's my encouragement to you. Are you ready? Instead of focusing on your foes, let's be people who focus on our future. Constantly be thinking, stop thinking about the people that don't lie. Think about where God's taking you and what God could possibly do through your life. Instead of rehearsing your hurts, why don't you rehearse your hopes? Oh, come on, someone. Yeah, yeah. Because, come on, be honest. You know that person that just loves to rehearse their hurts. I'm sure they did get hurt. But how does that help them move forward? The only thing that's going to help you move forward is talking about what you're hoping will happen in the future. Instead of talking about people, why don't we talk about plans and purpose? I love that. You know, they say great inventors and people that are really achieving great things don't talk about people. They talk about plans. They talk about their purpose. Talking about people just leads to one thing. You know, when I say talk about people, I'm not talking about their great achievements. You know what I'm talking about. Now, listen, if you don't have any enemies, if there are people out there who don't like you, I would say maybe you're not doing much with your life, to be honest. Actually, this is the way Winston Churchill put it. Let's have a look at this. It'll come up on the screen. There it is. You have enemies? I'm going to try and say it like he would say it. Good. That means you've stood up for something sometime in your life. Listen, if you're going to stand for something, there's going to be people who don't like what you're standing up for. So, of course, there's going to be people who don't like you. Don't be shocked by that. Are you hearing me? Stop being shocked that people don't like you. Maybe because you're doing something great. But listen, you have to make a decision. I just choose to be no one's enemy. There's a story in Nehemiah. He was trying to build a wall around Jerusalem. And he was building this wall so that they could flourish as a city and as a nation. And of course, there were people who mocked him. They didn't want him to build the wall. They didn't want them to be strong. Do you know there are people in your lives who don't want you to be strong? Because they're hurting, because they're broken, they want you to stay hurting and they want you to stay broken. They don't want you to take off and start fulfilling your dreams because it makes them feel bad about this. Come on, don't leave me hanging here. Is it true or not? And so we see that Nehemiah started building up a few people who didn't like him. Some enemies. And two of them are mentioned in this story in chapter 6. It says, so Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of... Oh, no. Any of your friends asked you to go to the plain of Oh, No lately? Hey, why don't you come around and we'll chill and we'll just talk badly about people for the next 45 minutes. Or come on, let's gather and we'll talk about how our exes broke our hearts and why God needs to strike them dead. And let's, hey, let's gather and talk about Pastors Richard and Helen and why and how they could be better pastors and stuff. And I'm like, really? See, I call that the plane of Ono. Is it okay if I go there? Right? Hey, listen, I'm not your enemy. Why are you mine? Like, I don't get it. No, I'm challenging your heart today. Have no enemies. I have no enemies, King Solomon said. I have no enemies. I know people have hurt us. Some people have hurt your children. Now listen, be careful. Set up guardrails, boundaries. Oh, yes. But don't make that person your enemy, because I'm telling you, the only person that loses is you. I want to encourage you today, and I'm going to say this very clear. Please be selfish today. Please. I'm asking you, have a spirit of I have no enemies, because you're the person who wins. And when you're free on the inside, you can move forward. You can praise God. You can raise up. Come on, someone. Give him a huge round of applause. It's the truth. We need to have the spirit of Nehemiah. This is what he says. He says, but I realized that they were plotting to harm me. Is it up there? Right? Nehemiah chapter 6. He says, but I realized these people who wanted me to go to the plain of Ono. He says, but I realized they were plotting to harm me. See, you're the person who gets hurt when you end up in the land of Ono. So I replied by sending this message to them. He says, I'm engaged in a great work. Is it up there? Yeah. I'm engaged. So when people want to gossip and make you hate on people, you need to say, hey, oh, can't come to the land of Ono, because I am engaged in a great work over here. I'm doing something good with my life. And he says, I'm engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? He says, four times they sent the same message, and each time I gave them the same replies. Anyone getting something out of this message today? This is my prayer. We all leave this place today with a spirit of, I have no enemies. That's a decision that I've made. I'm not out to get anybody. I'm not out to kill someone. I'm not out to kill their personality or their reputation. I'm just going to live my life, and I'm going to live it for God. This is the way the Apostle Paul put it to the Romans, to the people living in Rome. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Watch this. He says, if, let's be honest, with some people, it's almost impossible. He says, but if it is possible, as far as it depends on not them. Some of you are waiting for people to come and say sorry to you. You're waiting for everything to be smooth and rosy before you do what he says next. He says, no, as much as it has to do with you, live at peace with everyone. Are you hearing me? So there are people that I've forgiven. I love them. They are not my enemy, but they have never come and said sorry. But they don't need to. I've already forgiven them. If they ever did, God bless them. That's fantastic. But that's not going to be the condition of me saying I have no enemies. It's within, isn't this good? It's within our control. Come on, someone. It's within our control. A lot of people haven't come and said sorry, but it's all cool. Now, this is the strange thing. When I see those people in a cafe, they know what they've said about me. They know the things they've done. And they've got that torture going on in their own life because I am their enemy, right? Remember, they can't build because I'm their enemy. But I walk into that cafe, I've already forgiven them 100 times over. So they're shocked when I walk in and I go, oh! They're like, but I've been speaking badly about you, and I've tried to crucify you, and I've tried to... And it's, for me, it's a distant memory, because my heart is healed. Are you hearing me? Right? I'm all good. I'm not like, oh! I can't even go into that cafe because I can say, oh. Actually, it's not even them, but they look like them. And I still don't want to go in. No. Have a free spirit. You should never have to cross the road for anybody. I have no enemies. How you doing out there? You all right? I know what some of you, but you don't know what's happened to me. Did you have nails in your hands? Was it that? Did they put a crown of thorns on your head? Did they put a spear in your side? And if it's yes to all of those things, okay, I will talk to you about that then later. But for most of us, it's no. They cheated on me. They stole my money. They said bad things about me. I get it. It's hurtful, guys. But we still get to make that decision. You're not my enemy. This is God's promise to us. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. This is the Apostle Paul still speaking about this stuff. Can you read this one with me? Because this is very powerful. 1, 2, 3. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. What's he say next? But leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Now listen. Yeah, amen. Can I be honest though? That's level one. Level one, God is saying, listen, just hand them over to me. I will sort them out, but you be free. And it takes faith to do that. So in other words, when you're about to literally murder their character, God says, don't do that. Because if you don't, then they become my project. But if you do, then they are your project. I would rather God deal with people than me having to deal with it. Are you with me? So God says, trust me. It's okay. No one gets away with anything around here. But can I be honest? That's actually level one. Level one is, God, I'm not going to do anything because I know you're going to do it. But you know when Jesus was hanging on the cross? Luke chapter 23. Watch this. Look at what Jesus did and said. Luke 23 verse 34. Jesus said, Jesus didn't say, Father, I forgive them. Jesus said, Father, can you forgive them? In other words, Father, I'm going to forgive them, but I don't even need you to repay them. God, please, this is what God, please, don't let them pay the price for what they've just done to me. Okay, let's be honest. I think most of us are level oneers. Any level oneers out there? Like, okay, I can forgive as long as God gets them. As long as, right? But it's true, huh? God, I'll forgive, but you better. Most of us are there, right? Like, God, I'll forgive. I won't say anything. I'll do all that. But you. But Jesus is up there saying, Father, please don't. They don't know what. Father, don't. Please don't let it happen. Wow. We're supposed to be like Jesus. My encouragement to you is, guys, Jesus rose from the grave. He's seated on a throne. It worked out pretty well for Jesus, is what I'm saying. Like, it worked out well for him, you know. I know he had crown of thorns and all that, but he rises from the grave, right? Yeah, no, it's true, but he rises from the grave, and he's actually seated at the right hand of the Father right now, controlling the whole universe. Like, it worked out well for him, amen? Okay, so let's learn from him. This is what he did. So, come on, guys, let's go to that next level. Listen, Paul goes even one step further. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, it says, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, watch this, while we were still his enemies, he died for us while we were his enemies. Now, some of us are thinking, did God hate us? No, we hated him. We hated him. We despised him. We literally crucified his Son, and God did that for us while we hated him. Friends, that's how we're saved today. So here's just a couple of practical thoughts. Can I give you a couple of practical thoughts as we move forward? Okay. Proverbs 24, verses 17 to 18. Number one, do not gloat when your enemy falls. When they stumble, do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from them. So if you're still a level one-er, and you want God to get your enemy, well then don't gloat when they fall. Don't laugh when they stumble. You know, I've had some people who have been pretty mean lately, and then immediately there's been some really bad things happen in their life. And I've got to be honest with you, I've had to stand before God and say, God, do not let my heart rejoice. Do not let my heart rejoice. Now, I've got to control it. But listen, for me, to be honest, it's not so that God will still get them. I'm just like, it's just not a great heart, friends. you're actually wishing for evil upon someone. We're supposed to be Christians. We're wishing for good things to happen to people. We want people to prosper and move forward and have great friendships and to be healed in their body. Are you hearing me? I heard of someone recently and they got a really bad sickness having been very mean to someone else in this church. And the minute I heard about it, I didn't go, yes. I'm like, man, that's terrible. And we started praying for them. Come on, let's be those people. Let's rise up, Lifehouse. Are you with me? Second thing, speak well of people behind their back. Now, let me tell you just a very honest story. Very honest. I'm sitting there. There is a guy that hasn't been very kind to me. I'm sitting with a mutual friend. So I'm sitting with the friend. He's my friend. He's their friend. But this guy over here, he's very mean. Very, very mean spirit. Says things that are not true, whatever, whatever. I'm there, and I'm unleashing my disappointment. How dare he? This is the honest truth. And you can look at me strangely, but I know you've been there too. And I'm unleashing. And then eventually this guy says to me, seriously, this is what he says to me. He goes, bro, you know that he only speaks well of you to me. And I'm like, the Bon Jovi song came. Shot through the heart and I'm to blame. I felt like the biggest devil in that moment. I went, wow, so he's a better man than me. And from that day, I thought, that's it. I'm not doing that anymore. Someone wants to speak badly, they can. But when I'm with people, I'm speaking good things. Come on, someone. I'm speaking good things. I'm not going to be the source of people's terribleness. No. I was with a good close friend that I sort of mentor. And a high-level leader was coming to meet with him. And I was just going to be in this meeting for just a moment. And then these guys started talking. They were catching up. And then the high-level leader made a little bit of a derogatory statement about a pastor's wife. I know pastors do that sometimes. It's terrible. And I thought my friend would just go, he joined in. He joined in, and they were sort of just mocking this person's wife a little. I was devastated. I was devastated. So this guy leaves. I talked to the guy that I'm mentoring, and I said, come here. You know I love you, yeah? He goes, yeah. I said, I'm devastated you got involved in that conversation, bro. And he was getting a little bit offended. He was. He wasn't like, oh, thanks, mate. He was like, what do you mean? I said, if someone spoke about your wife like that, would you be happy? He goes, no. I said, why are you speaking about someone's wife like that? Like, even if she's got faults and problems, like, so everyone's got them. Why would you be doing that? Would you say that in front of her? Would you say that to her husband? No. So I think he landed in the land of oh no. 2 months later, he sends me a text message. Thank you so much. And then he says this, if there's one thing I know, you will never speak badly about me behind my back. See, people may be slightly offended by your confrontation, but at least they'll know something about your character. At least if you pull them up about speaking about someone else, then you're certainly not going to be speaking about them. Come on, be known for a person of integrity. Be known that you don't give away secrets. Be known that you're just not out to get anybody. Are you hearing me? Luke chapter 6, verse 27, 28, it says, but to you who are listening, this is Jesus speaking. He says, love your enemies, guys. Love them. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Come on. I think the Bible's pretty clear. It's just a higher way to live. It's just a better way to live. Do you know what this message actually is? Can I be honest with you? It's actually a rebranded, repackaged, let's have unity. It's actually what, if we all did this, there'd be no disunity anywhere. Everybody would be unified. Everyone trusts each other. Come on, is that true? So here's a practical thing for you to do. Check your heart. If you've got that person that you're thinking of, I mean, there's probably a few people, if you've got them on the forefront of your mind, if you've got their number, the Bible says, pray for them, do good to them. So what does that mean? You could at least send a text message just simply saying, hey, thinking of you today, because you are thinking of them, aren't you? You literally are thinking of them. Just want to say, may God bless you. Isn't that powerful? You know, I said that at the first service, and my son-in-law sent me a message, just thinking of you today. May God bless you. So rude. He's a stirrer. If you know my son-in-law, you know he's a real stirrer. Now, seriously, shock them. Shock them. Let them see a message from you saying, may God bless you. What they're expecting from you is a big, long text about how disappointed you are, but instead you're saying, why? Because you honestly can say, I have no enemies. Some of you are like, no, I'm all good. I'm all good. I don't want to hurt anyone out there. Yeah, there's one last enemy that you've really got to be able to forgive. That's yourself. For some people, I mean, you're so forgiving toward everybody else, but you have made some silly decisions and you're finding it hard to forgive the enemy of that decision. And that was you. You made that decision and you're finding it hard to forgive yourself. Now, come on, even that's got, you've got no enemies. You forgive yourself, you're forgiving others, you're forgiving me, I'm forgiving you. Imagine we live like this. Well, we're supposed to be. Remember, I'm going to come back to King Solomon. He says, my dad couldn't build because he had wars going on everywhere. I've got peace. I've got no enemies. And guess what? He built the temple. Do you want to build something? Do you want to build a marriage? Do you want to build a business? Do you want to build a healthy mindset and leave depression and anxiety behind? Come on, get going. You have no enemies. I have no... Come on, someone. I have no enemies. I have no enemies. You've got no enemies. You've got no enemies. You've got no enemies. It's a decision. Do you receive it?
We hope this message inspired you. To find out more about us, head to our website at lifehouse.global.